Amen. That was good. Good, good, good. It went right along with my message. I love that when that happens. And I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. I did want to give you a little update. Of course, the fair is now over. Praise the Lord. But wonderful, wonderful week at the fair. And through the week, we've had a lot of things go on, including me losing my voice. And I think that's the dust and the smoke and just all kinds of stuff with the fair. I have allergy issues and that. So pray, if you would, about that. I do need my voice to kind of direct people during vacation Bible school, though I don't have to do all the work. Praise the Lord. We have all kinds of special people coming in. But it is nice for me to have a voice. And so I'd appreciate your prayers. But also during the week, we had a lot of excitement with our carpet. And they went to lay the carpet, I think it was on Monday, and found that the carpet again was flawed. And it was from the same dye lot, so it shouldn't be totally a shock. But at any rate, we are working with a local carpet layers and distributors, and certainly not their fault. It is a manufacturer issue out of Canada, eh? And anyway, and it's like okay, so we already decided we were going to move up here. We just already had made that decision, and we had moved everything from down up on Sunday night, and so that was quite a blow. I believe it was on Thursday. I was at the fair, and is that right? I don't even know what today is. Today Sunday? Yeah, it's not Wednesday night. It's got to be Sunday. So anyway, on Thursday, my wife and I were in the tent at the fair, and the fella in charge of the carpet place, he called, and he said, we now know, you know, we are going to replace all the carpet, but they're going to have to make it brand new at the mill. He said it's going to be minimum 2, possibly 3 weeks, and maybe not even then. And so it's like, oh my. And I said, could we maybe look at maybe doing something different, a different kind or different, something close? And he said, sure, you guys, but you're going to have to do it quickly. So we left the fair and went to the carpet place. And we started looking. We found something almost identical. I mean, it looked just like what we were getting ready to put down, which some of you saw. We had it down several times. But anyway, we looked at it, and we said, boy, this is better. I mean, this looks better, and it was definitely a tighter weave. And the lady said, let me see if they have that. And so she called. They had that in stock, and therefore we would be able to get it quicker. And anyway, make a long story short, I said, this is almost identical to what we were gonna buy. And I said, but I said, it looks like it's better. And she goes, well, I didn't want to tell you, it's more expensive. I said, really? And she said, yeah, about $6 more a yard. And I said, oh. And she described, because it was 100% nylon and has this warranty, that warranty, and I could tell it was better carpet. And I said, so how many yards? Anyway, about $2,000 more expensive. So my wheels are turning. I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe we'll try to raise that or whatever or something, because we want to get carpet in here now. And anyway, I said, listen, this has been a hassle for us, and you know that, and we've tried to be nice. I said, I'll be glad to call the mill. She said, no, let me call. So she called, and I would have been nice, I'm sure. But she called, and my wife and I are praying, and she came back, and she said, you're not going to believe this. You know, they always say, you're not going to believe this. We believe. And she said, they are going to make it a even exchange, and we're going to get the more expensive carpet, and it should be here next week. And it'll have to, it's going to be tough doing all this. It has to be fit in between Bible schools, but it is very, very, very possible that we will actually have the right carpet, which is the more expensive carpet, which cost us nothing other than some time. And so praise the Lord. I'm so excited about all the things. And it's like this. It's just kind of been like that for the last 6 months. But that's kind of what our lives are like often. And praise the Lord for valleys, because that means there's a mountain, which means there's a valley, which means, and so on and so forth. But I wanted to let you know about that, and that is a blessing. We have had some people say that they think these chairs don't look very good with these new tables. And if you really don't think it looks good, it would be good to just throw some extra money in for chairs. And that would be called platform chairs. And I don't have a price on that. I think some ladies maybe do, but I'm guessing probably about another $800 to $1,000 for four chairs. But anyway, God's good. He's just always good. I came in for Sunday school about tripped coming up the platform, because I'm used to the one step downstairs, and I had three steps. So if you're not used to things, I totally understand. But it is good to be back in the auditorium. And what a blessing. That song ties right in with my message, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. And that's why I want to talk to you this morning about the words more and more. More and more. Hosea 13 and verse 2, it says, "And now they sin more and more." And, you know, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. And to be honest with you, they had no idea. I didn't know what they were singing. But as I was thinking while they were singing, grace can also abound more and more and more in our lives, as God, who is the giver of eternal life, he wants to keep giving. He has more and more to give to you and I. He has more and more blessings he wants to give you. And so where sin abounded, grace abounded more, and it abounds more and more. Father, bless the preaching. Thank you for your many, many blessings and the ups and the downs and the way you work in our lives. It's just amazing. Thank you for the many souls saved. And Lord, that we could gather this morning. Many are a tired group of people, but a group of people that has given so much to do your will this week, and will give more in the next couple weeks. So help us now, challenge us, and speak to our hearts. And if there's someone here today without Christ, I pray they'd get saved, and they'd see that grace certainly, certainly abounded more. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Verse 1, it says, "When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel." Ephraim, at one time, was very humble, trembling, humility. They were very humble. They were walking in the Spirit of the Lord. They were serving God. There was a time that God was exalted in their lives, and they were listening to God, and they were actually the leading tribe of the northern kingdom, because God had blessed them in such a great way. And again, you will find that God he's always ready to bless righteousness. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God, it's no accident that the United States of America is where it is and has been blessed unbelievably by God, because of the spiritual condition in the past and over the years. And it should be no shock that as the spiritual condition goes down, we will see the absence of God's blessing. But that's a whole other message. But Ephraim was like that. They were humble. They walked in the Spirit of God. They did the will of God. But eventually, they turned to Baal worship. And of course, any worship is wrong if it's not the worship of God. Doesn't matter what you worship. Doesn't matter if you're worshiping Baal. Doesn't matter if you worship, which Baal was to some, the sun god. Doesn't matter if you worship the moon. Doesn't matter if you worship money. Doesn't matter if you worship you. Any worship other than God is wrong worship. And so Ephraim died spiritually. The Bible says when he offended in Baal, he died. And so they died spiritually. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. I want to remind you, something always dies when there's sin present. Something always dies. A vision will die. Somebody wants to do something for God. Maybe teach a Sunday school class and build that class. Maybe take a bus route and build that bus route. Or maybe it's a dad who wants to have his family grow up serving God and wants to have a godly home. And you know, sin always causes death. The death of a vision. the death of a relationship. How many relationships, people who were friends, people who were close, a husband and a wife, sin devastates and kills, causes death to relationships, causes death to positions, and on and on. Sin, always, the wages of sin is death. And when Ephraim turned away from God, there was only one thing that could follow, and that would be death. And I'm telling you, folks, there's only one thing that can follow if we sin, and when we sin, something dies. And so verse 2 becomes true, and it says, and now they sin more and more. And when they turned to Baal, when they started worshiping other gods other than the capital G God, the Lord God, when they started worshiping other gods, well, not only did they die, but the Bible says they sinned more and more. It just naturally followed. They sinned more and more and more and more and more. And I want to remind you that no matter who you are today, once you take that step into sin, any of us, it doesn't matter, then you can expect there to be more and more and more and more until you turn to the grace of God. And where sin abounded, grace abounded more. Amen. But they refused to turn to God, and so they sinned. Now they sinned, the Bible says, more and more, made molten images of silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. And again, they have gone totally, totally overboard in sin and against God. And what a heartbreaker. But notice what the Bible says so clearly is going to take place, and it always does. Therefore, they shall be as the morning cloud. This morning, did you notice the cloud? The fog. They shall be as the morning cloud. What's that? Because the fog always burns away. And that's exactly what would happen. And as the early dew that passeth away, it always does. And as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the... What's he saying? He's saying that eventually, because they sin more and more, eventually they will be gone. Eventually they will be totally destroyed. And so as the fog that burns away, the chaff from the threshing instrument that blows away, the smoke that blows away, verse 4 says, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. But I call your attention to the choice they made. And then they went into sin more and more. Because here's the thing, we are people of habit. And we become people, and often we make a choice and then we do it more and more. Often we, as they did here, sin. They chose sin, they chose Baal worship, they chose idolatry, and it should not shock us that once they made that choice, they would get into it more and more, and it would get worse and worse. It should not shock us. By the way, that's why prophecy says man is going to get worse and worse. Again, I want to remind you, the teaching of the world today, secular humanism, is that man's getting better and better. The teaching in our schools and in schools all over the world is that man is getting better and better, but our Bible says that's not true. Our Bible says because man chooses sin, that as long as we have made that choice and we stay with that choice, we're going to get worse and worse, and men will wax worse and worse in our world. All you had to do, if you haven't had a chronicle of the Lenawee County Fair, year after year after year. Anybody that goes and spends time, Kathy Morin spends a lot of time at the fair, and I guarantee any of us that spend time at the fair, we will tell you, it just keeps, man keeps getting worse and worse. It just keeps getting worse and worse. And the way people act, and the way people talk, and the way people respond, and all of that, it just gets worse and worse. By the way, that is true. Old Testament, you see it over and over again. It is said about Ammon, the son of Manasseh, 2 Chronicles 33:23, the Bible says, he humbled not himself before the Lord, but trespassed more and more. What was it? He had a choice. He could have humbled himself. He could have bowed down and said, God, you are God, and I trust you, and I believe you. But instead of humbling himself, he became proud before the Lord and said, I'm going to do what I want to do. And the Bible says the result of that was what? He trespassed more and more. It was said of Israel after affliction for their sin in Isaiah 1 verse 5, why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. You know, here they sinned, and God dealt with them, and God punished them, and they were afflicted with the captivity. And finally, God just says, why should you be stricken anymore? Because you will revolt more and more. It's just we're creatures of habit. If you find yourself in church, you find God speaking to your heart, you find a decision that you should make for the Lord, and instead you say, no, I'm not going to do it, God. And all of a sudden, it's amazing how you sin more and more, more and more. Where does it start? It starts at an invitation sometimes. It starts as you read your Bible sometime. It starts when you tell God no. It starts when you tell God, I want to do what I want to do. It starts with us when we make a choice, and being creatures of habit, we finally fall into a pattern. Have you ever found yourself saying, I can't believe I did that? I cannot believe I went that far. But it is true so many times. What we choose to do, we can do it more and more. These all had a bad ending because their choice was a choice to sin. These all had bad endings. Every one of them, every example in the Bible, their choice to sin became more and more and more and more and more. And the habitual sin eventually led to the death. And again, the death of a nation, the death of people. But there are some good more and mores in the Scripture. And that's what I like about the song. I was thinking, boy, God knows how to put a service together, doesn't he? Where sin abounded. And we're seeing it, folks. Honestly, we're seeing sin abounding in the United States of America. We're seeing sin abounding in Lenawee County. I mean, it's just abounding. There's sin. It's right in our face. But where sin abounded, oh, grace, grace, grace abounded more. And I want to give you some good more and mores in the Scripture. There are more good more and mores than there are bad more and mores. Number one, more and more hope. Proverbs 4, verse 18. Look at it. Proverbs 4 and verse 18. All that was introduction. Now I'm going to preach, and we're going to go fast. Proverbs 4, verse 18. More and more hope. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You see that? The path of the just. Now again, I said we're creatures of habit, and when we make a choice, then eventually and often we keep choosing and we do it more and more. And the Bible says the path of the just, I love it, is as the shining light. And that shining light, it shines more and more unto the perfect day. When I got saved at the age of 17, I saw, now again, I'm not talking about a visual light from heaven where God said you need, like Saul did, but it was, there was light given to me. There was light. There was light that shined on my sin, and I realized I was lost and I was guilty. And you remember before you got saved, you were guilty and you knew you were guilty and you knew you needed to be saved. You were afraid that if you died, you'd go to hell. Or like me, you were afraid if the rapture took place, you'd be left behind. And I can still remember how when I got saved, there was just a little bit of light shining. And I just a glimmer of hope. That hey, I'm forgiven now, and I know that. And I know that I'm going to go to heaven someday. But I didn't even know what heaven was all about. I just knew I wasn't going to go to hell. You know what's exciting? It's just becoming brighter and brighter. It's shining more and more. The longer I walk with God, the more I read my Bible, the more that I spend time alone with the Lord, I realize there is more and more and more and more hope. Because years ago, I made a choice to be saved. And now I've walked that path. I got saved, then I got baptized. Then I kept walking that path. Amen. I started going to church and became faithful in church. By the way, people that don't go to church, they find that, you know, it doesn't look so bright all the time. It doesn't look so exciting all the time. It doesn't look so, you know, gloom can tend to, start to overwhelm them a little bit. But you hear the hope. You hear songs like "Where Sin Abounded, Grace Abounded More," and you realize we are more than conquerors. It's not so gloomy. It's not so bad. You know, as I went to church more and more, and I grew in the Lord more and more, and I began to tithe and began to serve God and eventually gave my life to the Lord, it got brighter and brighter, and it just keeps getting brighter. You say, oh, you know, there's been a lot of problems, a lot of hard times, yeah, but you know what? It's still brighter and brighter. Why? Because we're sin. Okay, sin abounds. That's fine. Grace, it just always, it always stomps all over sin. Grace overcomes it. That's why we love songs about grace. That's why we love to sing Amazing Grace. That's why we love to sing Wonderful Grace of Jesus. And we smile, and everybody, you know, when we, wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus. You know, when the guys get way down deep. And then the girls come in, you know, deeper than, you know, and everybody say, boy, we love that, don't we? Yeah, because it's the grace of God. And that's the thing that overcame our sin and the punishment for our sin. You ever, it was like Nathan Carpenter was preaching the other night, and he was in the book of Acts and talking about Euroclodon. I like that name too. That's a good name. And if we ever have another child, we're going to name him Euroclodon. And if it's a girl, it'll be Euroclodette. But, I was thinking as he was preaching, I was thinking about his title and where it said how that they were in this storm and they wished for the day. You know, and honestly, I think about as a Christian and how it's getting brighter and brighter every day. It just keeps getting brighter and brighter. And, you know, one of these days, it's going to be totally bright. And we're going to be in brightness where the sun is not needed because the S-O-N is the light. Amen. And you know, you think about, you ever plan a picnic or you plan something to happen and you wake up and it's all gloomy and the clouds are there and all of a sudden you see a little bit of the parting of the clouds and now you're starting to see a little bit of sun and you're just hoping and hoping and hoping and you're excited and hoping and it starts to break up. And all of a sudden the sun is shining and you're so excited. You know, that's the Christian life right there. That is every day. That is the Christian's life. I don't care what happens. Don't care what the problem. Don't care what the trial. You and I, we don't have to wish for the day. We know the day is coming. We know that day is nigh and it's soon. And praise the Lord, if it's not, He still brightens every day. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like His great love. And the more and more hope, it just keeps building. It's like, and somebody just talked to me about this. It's the example that I've given. I had somebody tell me they had the same example of being around people who've been saved for years when I was a new pastor and visiting that little old lady in the nursing home, and she was about to die, and she said, oh, I can't wait. And as a young Christian, I didn't understand that. And I still, you know, I still, you know, that's a hard thing to me, but to her, it's just like stepping on shore. It's like getting out of a boat and stepping on the shore, and you're in heaven. And I've sung that song a lot of times and thought about it. But more and more hope. I don't care what the news says. I don't care what people say. I have more and more hope every day. And you can have that too. You just have to choose the path of the just. The Bible says you need to be saved. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect. That perfect day is coming, folks. And we're going to have it. Number two, not only is there more and more hope, number two, there's more and more praise. Look at Psalm 71, verse 14. Psalm 71 and verse 14, just back a few pages. Psalm 71, 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. See what hope does to you? Hope, the more and more hope you have, that means that leads to more and more praise. Amen? It just naturally, praise naturally follows hope for those who live by faith. You know, the more hope that I have, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Those of us that live by faith, that hope, it's just like, it's happening. It's not a, I hope so, it's a, I know so, because God said so, and I'm just getting excited about seeing it happen. I'm getting excited about the light shining more and more. What's that lead to? That leads to more and more praise. Amen? As I learn to trust God, I learn to lean on God more. And it gets brighter and brighter the more he does. Have you been leaning on the Lord through this last 6 months? Have you been leaning on God and said, you know, there's got to be a reason. I love it. I love folks. You know, maybe I might show that I'm a little disappointed because of this or that that takes place. And I like it when folks say, well, but you know what? God's going to take care of that. You know God's going to do it. And it, whether it's carpet, whether it's lights, oh, wait till I tell you about the lights one of these days. That's an amazing story too. Whether it's about, you know, I'm trying to get our lights, those chandeliers. Don't those look nice? Boy, what a beautiful thing. And I said, so where are our other two lights? And they said, well, they're on a ship out in the Pacific Ocean. You know, that's going to be hard for us to see out there. I'm just saying, though, you know, you just watch God do things. Amen. And you hope, as your hope grows and your heart starts to beat a little faster because you know God's going to do it and he's going to open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings. And what are you going to do? You just have to praise the Lord. Now, I know, you know, we have some, I'm sure in a crowd our side, we have some grumblers and grumblers. I don't like this, I don't like that. Hey, you know what you ought to do? You ought to start getting that hoper. You know, get that thing excited. Amen? Instead of the grumbler, change it to a hoper. Because the hoper leads to praise. And then the songs become real. The song service becomes exciting. The words mean something because we have a God who is going to take the sin that abounds and he's going to show us grace that abounds more and more. Amen. I'm glad you guys sang that song. That's worked real well into my message. You know, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Promises for me give me more and more hope. I just keep looking for more and more promises. My God shall supply all your need. I just grab hold of that thing. Amen? And then I just watch. I like people that are watching for things. I like people that are waiting for the light to shine. I like people that see that little glimmer of light. I like folks whose head, their head is raised and they're looking for God to do something. And like the old evangelist, Brother Hawtrey, said, I pray in the spirit of expectancy. I expect my God to do something great. And I like it when folks live that way because there's going to be more and more praise. Here's the thing. If you have a praise problem, in other words, you don't know how to praise God, you can't thank God, everything, you know what? It's a hope problem. And if you have a hope problem, you have a trust problem because you just don't trust God. Oh, it's over. It's over. It ain't over till it's over. You say, how do you know it's not over? Because it's not over. Because we're still here. So what do? We just keep hoping and praising. And our God deserves our praise. More and more hope, more and more praise. Number three is more and more increase. Psalm 115, verse 14. I kind of chuckled after the fair. I think I've increased a few pounds. Well, the onion rings, right? Amen. The steak place. They know me by name. Unbelievable. Psalm 115, verse 14. By the way, they also know the gospel, because they've heard it from us at the steak place. I can't say all the different places. I think the French fry place heard about Jesus too. Anyway, Psalm 115, verse 14, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. I like increase. Don't you like increase? But I can be honest with you, it should not take increase to bring praise. We need to learn as Christians to praise God whether there is or isn't increase. We need to praise God when there's decrease, because He's still God and He's still good. And we need to understand that we should praise Him whether there's increase or not, because we trust Him and we have that hope. But when there is increase, certainly that leads to praise. That increase is good stuff. Notice what it says in verse 10 and in this same passage. Verse 10 says, "O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." How many times do you have to tell us? Yeah. He's your help. He's your shield. Trust Him. Ye that fear the Lord, trust Him. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He'll bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. He wants to bless you. Do you get it? Amen. Oh, He really does. Verse 14, "The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children." Isn't that good? There's all kinds of increase. Do you know, it's interesting, when Israel was in bondage in Egypt, you say, "Oh, that's a terrible thing." Do you know they increased in numbers? Oh, exceedingly. The Bible says, if you sow and you water, God gives the increase. It never fails, Kathy, that somebody will say, "Well, they said they had 250 saved. How many of them in it?" Probably more than you've ever told in your life. But that's a whole other story. But here's the thing, all right? There's all kinds of sowing going on. Amen? Throwing out seed. All kinds of sowing going on, you know? And all kinds of watering going on. Watering the seed. Who gives the increase anyway? Oh, yeah, that's right. So we can't make people get saved, can we? What can we do? We sow and we water. It's up to Him to give the increase. A lot of sowing, a lot of watering. A lot will be going on the next 2 weeks too. A lot of it. But then it's up to God to give the increase. You know, the more and more increase, it's an amazing thing. All we have to do is just do what He said to do. You give out a tract this week? You give out any tracts ever? Do you tell people about the Lord? Do you just give out? What do you do? Amen. Because sowing, watering. You know, somebody that received the gospel, now you can add to that simply by going up and encouraging somebody, or being a good Christian, a testimony, and then let God work on their heart. We've got people that we're praying for right now. I'm thinking of a fellow right now, praying for that because of our tent set up. Just one life out of the nearly 800. Just one life. Praying for that God will save that man's soul. Somebody sowed, somebody waters, and then God gives the increase. And He says He'll give more and more increase. He will bless more and more. Here's the whole idea with all of that. If you and I would just start with this statement right here: I deserve hell. If you just start right there, okay, I don't want you necessarily to dwell on it. Just always start there. I deserve hell. Now, if you deserve hell, then if it's raining, is that okay? If you deserve hell and it's snowing, is that okay? That's close. No. But if you deserve hell and you didn't get your raise, is that okay? You see what I'm saying? If you deserve hell and your water valve breaks, as the churches did during the week, the main water valve broke in the off position. Isn't that good? Amen. It's like God says, "Remember what it was like to be all wet?" Well, not this time. Are you listening? I'm just saying, no matter what happens, if I start with "I deserve hell," then to me, everything's an increase. Everything's good. Some of you aren't convinced, I can tell, but that's okay. Any situation, anything, but again, it comes back to trusting the Lord, and there's more and more increase. Growth is increase. And our valleys are some of the best growth times of our lives. Amen. Number four, more and more love. Philippians 1 and verse 9. God who is love, the more that we know Him, the more we walk with Him, the more capacity we have to love like He loves. Philippians 1 and verse 9, it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." I call that in knowledge part, I call that intelligent love. You know, intelligent love. There is a difference. When I first saw my wife, I said, "I'm in love." I know what some of you just now added to that. You shouldn't have. But anyway, but that initial attraction, that's okay. Now, was I in love when I first saw her? Nah, I didn't have a clue. I was attracted to her. That's what I was. And that initial attraction, that's okay. I'll be honest with you. I thought I loved Jesus when I got saved, because He saved my soul. And the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. And when I realized He loved me enough to die on the cross, I'll have to admit, I thought, I'll never love Him more. But you know what? After all these years, I love Him more. I can't even believe. That initial attraction to my wife, you know, oh, I'm in love. You know, and I tell all my friends, wow, I'm in love. Boy, this is something. Told Mom, I'm in love. And I thought, wow, this is good, but I got news for you. It's not even, that's nothing compared to what it is today. And you know, that's exactly what the Bible says. It says to a husband, it says, dwell with them, your wife, according to what? Knowledge. What's that mean? That means get to know them. Get to know them. And the more I get to know her as my wife, the more and more I love her. By the way, the more I get to know God's people, the more and more I love them. But all of that is only true because the more I get to know Him, the more I love Him. And the more I love and have the capacity to love. You see, we learn, dwell with them according to knowledge. And it's like my wife. I want to know what she's thinking. I want to know what she wants. I want to, and that requires a very important thing, that's pay attention. If I'm not, she grabs my face and makes sure I am. You know, I don't know if you guys ever get that to happen. Just sometimes I think my face will be stuck like this, which would be very inconvenient. It's hard to talk. But I love Jesus who is love. And because I love Him, and more I love Him, the more I can love. Amen? And the Bible talks about here in Philippians 1:9, it says, not only more and more in knowledge, but in all judgment. And that means discernment. And it's a matter of, you know, love is giving of yourself. And the discernment in love is caring about what she needs, caring about what you need, caring about and forgetting myself. It's forgetting ourselves and discerning, how can I meet their need? How can I provide for them? What can I do for Jesus? And it's more and more love. More and more. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. Great passage. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9, the Bible says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." The Bible says, let brotherly love continue. And the only way that it can, you say, yeah, do you know who my brothers are? Do you know, they're this and that? Doesn't matter. You know what it's all about? It's all about how much I love Him. You say, I don't get along with so-and-so. I don't get along with such. How much you love Him. because he loves them. How can I love you? How can I love you? How can you love? Well, because we love him, and he loves them. And that's how it becomes more and more. And all of a sudden, you're loving people that are not lovely. Yeah. How do you do it? Because he loves people that are not lovely. And it's more and more, and more and more, and more and more. I gave this illustration in Sunday school. Chad Dahlberg had a group of teenagers, and they were smirking and kind of, you know, and Chad was talking to him, and he was just serious. Chad is a very serious guy, and he's also a very intelligent guy. Next thing I know, I'm kind of watching and ready to jump in, you know. But I didn't need to jump in, but they're kind of giving him a hard time, yeah, you know, and mocking and all that, and I'm watching Chad, and I thought, he loves them. They're laughing at him. They're making fun of him. He loves them. Next thing I know, one of those big old boys got out a lighter, and he lit the flame, and he held it up to his arm, and I'm thinking, this probably isn't good, and he goes, ow, And I thought, I wonder what that's all. And Chad said, see, that's what hell's going to be like. And everybody else, oh, yeah, he's going to go. Oh. But that boy, he got this serious look on his face. And I thought, you know, how do you deal with people that are going to mock and make fun? But it's the same way our God dealt with us. He loves us. And we love people more and more. More and more. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Why? Because we have the love of God that dwells in us. I have one more, and then I'm done. Number one, I said more and more hope. And the more and more hope you have leads to more and more praise. And then as you hope and you praise the Lord, there's more and more increase in your lives as God blesses, and that leads to more and more love because we walk with him and we love as he loves, and we love anyone and everyone. And then the last thing, number five, is more and more pleasing God. And 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1 says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. And that ought to be our goal. It ought to be our goal to please God more and more as we walk with the Lord. That should be everybody's goal. A baby learns how to walk, and that's so exciting. It's funny. It's always the same. You know, they toddle around, and then boom. And we all laugh. Ha, ha, ha. You know, and here's the kids kind of soar on the place that they landed. But then they get up and they toddle around, and then they fall, you know. And you have videos of it. I was kind of laughing when the Varnums took the young people to the youth conference, and Isabella was staying with Liz, and they were out there saying goodbye, and Jenny's, you know, she's having a hard time. She goes, she better not start walking with you. You know, it's like, oh, what are you going to do, strap her down? No, you will not. She's so cute. She's got this thing she's doing now. She's going to everybody because she knows it's cute. But did she walk with you? Did not the first time? Okay, so that, okay. Well, I didn't know. But you know, we want to see that. And it's funny, as a Christian, when we take those steps, our God is watching. He loves that. Are you listening? It pleases him. Can you imagine? Seriously, when I surrendered, I got saved, and then I said, okay, I'll get baptized. And in heaven, I think God saying, wow, I like that. That's so good. That's so good. That long-haired guy's going to get baptized, get his hair wet, and not know what to do. You know, and I did. I worried about that then. First time we tithe, you know, wrote out that check and struggled. And I think, God, yo, he's pleased. Why? Because now I'm taking some bigger steps. Amen? Yeah. And all the way through our life, you know, as we walk, the Bible says we ought to walk to please God and do it more and more and more and more. And our walk, if it's right, it's pleasing to God. Pleasing to God. And as you think of your little baby, the first time they walked, you've maybe videoed it, and it's not long and they're walking to their little junior church. It's not long and they're walking to the platform to pray, and you're coming up with them. It's not long and they're walking up and getting their kindergarten diploma. And each time, you're so happy. Oh, I'm so proud of them. It's not long and they're running a race in school. They're winning a prize, a ribbon or something because they ran. It's not long and they're walking across the platform and getting their diploma for graduating high school. And it's not long and you clap and you're happy. It's not long and they're going to college getting that diploma. It's not long and somewhere in there they walk the aisle and they trusted Jesus as your Savior and you're excited about that. And then they walk up into the baptistry and get baptized. And then they're walking down the aisle and they're getting married and all those things. And every time you're so pleased and so happy and so excited. You know, that's what we're supposed to do with our God. We're supposed to take steps that please Him. We're supposed to pray more. Love more, walk more, praise more, trust more, rejoice more, no matter what, more and more pleasing God. Ask yourself today, am I pleasing God? Does my life, day in, day out, do I please God? I'm not talking about are you perfect. I'm just saying, is it my goal? Am I trying? Do I even think about it? I try very, very hard to please my wife. I think about things. I think about events that are coming up. Our anniversary of the day we met, that's big to us, and I'm thinking about things I want to do. Her birthday, I think about what I want to do for her, different things. What a terrible thing if I would do that for her, but I wouldn't think about how can I please God. What can I do to please God? You ever been tempted to sin, and you fight and fight and fight and you don't give in? And you do right, and you say, God, I am so glad I could please you. I think God in heaven is smiling because it pleases Him. That's what we need to do, more and more. Oh, yeah, you can choose sin and eventually do it more and more and poof. Or you can choose to do right and do it more and more and have the blessings of God in your life. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.